Merry Christmas, everybody. My name is Hope. I'm the online and social media pastor here at Northwoods, and I'm so excited to welcome you to Christmas at Northwoods. You know, there is so much that happens behind the scenes to make the Christmas production happen, and I'm very excited to give you special backstage access before we kick off the show today. So let's get ready and head backstage. All right. Hey, guys, I'm backstage with Bo. He is in charge of our flight crew, and Kirk, you do everything. You really do. He does the stage design. You sing. I mean, over the years, who knows what you haven't done for the show.
And I hit my head on a lot of
things. Yeah. So anyway, I just am excited for them to share a little bit about what happens backstage and building the stage. So to start us off, Kirk, I mean, really, when do you start getting the stage ready?
This stage design started actually back in 2019.
Oh, my goodness.
It was going to be for 2020. You see what happened there. So we started a long time ago. Probably as soon as the production's over, we start to thinking, dreaming of what's going to happen. So it started that long ago. But we commissioned a company to build the set that you are going to see tonight.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible.
Yeah, it's a lot of steel, a lot of man hours. I bet you there's probably at least 200 man hours in building it.
Oh, my goodness.
And then for us to put it together and put it onto our stage, that's probably another 100 hours, man hours, easy. I'm trying not to exaggerate, so it's probably a lot more.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
A lot of people, a lot of help to make this happen. You're going to love it tonight.
Yeah, it's really incredible. It's really cool. And then we also have the flight crew, and we're not going to say exactly what you can expect, but if you've been to the show before, you know that there's some flying that happens, and Bo, that's kind of what you're in charge of, right?
Yeah, I've been the flight director for 5 or 6 years,
and
my job is to get the volunteers to come and help those that have seen before. We have flown drummers in the past. We've flown angels.
Yeah.
So basically getting the volunteers, getting them trained to make sure that everything is safe. And we currently have like 8 volunteers that'll be at every show. And then we have 3 backups in case something happens. And everybody's been trained on all the different apparatus.
So cool. It's awesome. You guys, even some of what you can see back here is what they need for the flights. Yeah. We'll keep some of it a secret, but
that's
know
how
you're
that
gonna...
happens.
Yeah. We know you're going to enjoy it. So thank you guys so much. We'll get to the next group of people. All right, guys. Well, I'm back here with Matt and Bernard and Amy. They are on our band and vocal team, and they're just going to tell us a little bit about what does it even look like to put together this many vocalists, this many band members, and honestly, even how many band members and vocalists are there? I feel like every time I go out on stage, I see more members of the band. So
you're going to put us on the spot with that.
Yeah. I don't know. Off the top of my head.
I think there's 13 in the band.
Yep.
Wow. And there's about 21 maybe vocalists.
Okay. Man.
So it's a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. So how do you put all of that together?
Yeah, I think for the band, we kind of start probably individually working on the music September, October.
Wow.
And then we start having some core band rehearsals in November. And then it kind of progresses from there. And then it really all comes together, like Bernard getting here for Tech Week. And then he's just kind of guiding the whole band. And it kind of comes together in that week before the production.
Yeah. Bernard, why don't you tell us a little bit about what you do?
It helps when you have great musicians to work with. Peoria has some of the finest musicians and singers.
Thank you.
And they all happen to be at this church.
Bernard is a guest of ours, if you didn't catch that. He's here from Nashville with his wife.
Yep. So we're just glad to be a part. This is probably my 6th or 7th year, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But every year it gets better and better. Not that this show is bad at all. This show is just blows my mind. From when I come in, from the first day of seeing the setup to listening to the music and getting the vision that the team have put together.
Yeah.
So I get to come in and just kind of put the icing on the cake.
Yeah.
And you know, the icing is sometimes the easiest thing to put on the cake, but the cake is prepared before I get here. And we hope that you like the slice that you get.
Yeah, yeah. And Amy, what about the vocal team? What's
that look like? So once we get the music from our director, you know, she really kind of crafts the
show. They're gonna meet Dawn here in a little bit.
And so once we get the music, we do start our rehearsals pretty early in the fall. This year we started mid-September with weekly rehearsals, and so you know, I guess before that we kind of have to figure out who's singing on what song, because all 21 of us don't sing on every song, of course.
Thank goodness.
So it's just kind of a bit of a jigsaw puzzle putting together like who's coming when and what time, and make sure you're here for the right song. But we do have great volunteers who always show up prepared and who just do an awesome job learning their music and working hard to sound great. And so it's just a lot of fun.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much. We're going to take you to the next group and our next behind the scenes sneak peek. Okay, guys, I am here with Rebecca. She's our choreographer. And how many years have you choreographed the show?
This will be my fifth year.
Okay, that's what I was thinking, about as long as I've been in the show. So awesome. Well, what does it take to choreograph the show?
It does take a lot. it's a lot of time, but I really start with the music.
Yeah.
I will listen to the songs on repeat, really get an idea of what I want the dances to look like. I then start to think about what emotions I want people to feel with the different dances. Sometimes the dances will bring joy to people. I hope to bring a smile to their face. sometimes the dances are an opportunity for people to really reflect. And then also just a chance to tell a story. So
I love it.
Yeah.
Does Dawn speak into that? Do you guys sit down together and go through some of that?
Definitely. I get some of Dawn's notes and we meet and go over some of the thoughts she has for the show and different fun elements. Awesome. And we kind of talk through some things. And
very cool.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite dance this year?
Oh, I really like Heavenly Host and I love Go Tell It.
Okay. Awesome. Yes. So there you go. Those are the dances to watch out for. My favorite is with, I don't know if you guys can see these snowflake costumes we have around us, but there are all kinds of fun costumes. So we're going to have a great time. I hope that you guys enjoy the dancers. Let's get to the next one. All right, everybody. Well, we are here with Dawn, the show director, and Pastor Cal, who you all know. And I'm so excited. They're just going to share some different things about the show and the heart of the show. But Dawn, I was hoping you could just tell us, what does it even take to pull off something like this?
Sure. So I usually start sometime in February and March.
The
year before.
Oh, my goodness.
Listening to lots and lots of music and starting to choose what it's going to feel like, look like. Building the set, thinking about what I want on stage, and all the extracurricular that's going to happen around all of that. So usually I start in February, March. I get the team together midsummer, and then we start building from there. Rehearsals usually start in August.
Yeah. Oh, my
goodness. You're usually not recovered until February or March.
That's true. I don't think I ever fully recovered.
You're just always in Christmas mode, pretty much.
And the only bad thing about doing a really, really good production is, isn't it, it's almost self-defeating because it's like, now what do I do?
Yeah, so what have been some of those, your favorite moments for either of you in years past? Sure.
My standout would definitely be the year we did, the show title was called Hope, and we took our whole crew to New York City.
Oh, wow.
And we shot the bridge in Central Park, so that was how we opened, and we duplicated that bridge, the set, on stage.
Oh, my goodness.
So we transitioned from video to live.
That's awesome.
So that was my favorite for sure.
There have been
so many spectacular moments over the course of the years, but mine really come back to moments in songs. Maybe somewhere close to where I'm going to be up to speak, and there's just been some moments that I'm going, oh my goodness, if hearts don't open tonight, something's wrong, because you just sense God's here and there's something amazing happening.
Absolutely. Yeah. Awesome. You talk about God being here and feeling that. Yeah. You know, I know that that's part of why we do this. How did the Christmas production even get started at Northwoods?
Well, I would say that because we were a Willow startup, drama, productions, different things like that were always a part of our DNA. But we didn't know how to pull it off. Till Dawn came along and said, I can do that.
I can do it.
Give me a little bit of a budget.
Yeah.
And so we had that in our DNA just to capture the imagination of people that maybe were unchurched by doing something that's a little, it's maybe not churchy, but the message is there.
Yeah.
And, you know, Christmas, we go, who doesn't, you know, have a little sense of that spirit about them? And, it was several years, when we do a production? And I'll never forget that first one. You had people ice skating up there. We had a big horse coming in with a sleigh. And I just remember sitting there going, this is what I imagined. I think we were probably 13, 14 years in. It was 2003 or 4 was kind of in
2004.
But that was like our 14th year of our church. And I'm telling you, it took off because we were just seeing thousands of people come through the doors. It was really, you're only limited by as many productions as you want to do.
Sure.
You want to do 5, you want to do 6, you want to do 8, you want to do 10. Mm-hmm. And we've gone all the way up to 11.
We have.
And seen over 30,000 people. So that's that's amazing.
Incredible. Yeah. Incredible. So for the people who are watching this, you know, what is it that you hope they get out of tonight?
Mm. Well, if they don't know Jesus.
Yes.
I'm praying that there will be some who just even in the privacy of their own home will understand why he came. Beyond that, we know it's possible as believers to live with disappointment in our life. We've all had those moments of why, God, didn't you show up?
Yeah.
COVID has really hit that. I mean, I could talk story after story after story this year in my own life. Not all necessarily related to COVID, but several. And the issue was we were praying, we were thinking we're on the other side, and then you do a funeral. Mm-hmm. And there's no good explanation other than, well, we're not home yet, but there's a lot of disappointment in the heart. And it just feels like God didn't show up. Mm-hmm. And I'm really hoping that people will take that little tagline today, you know, and 400 years of silence before Jesus comes.
Yes.
He's nowhere to be seen. God's nowhere to be heard. He's nowhere to be found. And you wouldn't blame people if they just said, God is nowhere.
Yeah.
Like the atheist said one day. To a little 5-year-old was reading the sign on his wall. He was just learning to read. And he said, God is now here. And it transformed. It's all the same letters, but where you put the break. And I'm going, what I hope people get is after 400 years of silence, God spoke into that God is nowhere and transformed it into God is now here. Mm-hmm. And I just want people to know, no matter what you're going through, he's here to help you. He's here to sustain you. He's here to forgive. He's here to save.
Yeah. That's so awesome. Mm-hmm.
To do it That's around awesome. All that music.
Yes.
Yeah. It's going to be a good time. We're going to have a lot of fun. So you guys, we are so glad that you're here, and it's going to be so much fun. So awesome. We're going to have those moments like Pastor Cal talked about. And so we just invite you in to just sit down and take it all in. And we hope that you enjoy tonight's show.
So welcome to the show.
tell it from the mountaintop. I will go and tell it, I will go and tell it. Tell it from the mountaintop.
Let's go!
I will go and tell it, I will go and tell it.
What's up, Ray?
Hey. Tell it from the mountaintop.
Hey.
I will go and tell it, I will go and tell it.
Check, check, what's your boy, Ray? Let's go!
Tell it from the mountaintop.
Dasher, Dancer, Prancer, Vixen, Comet, Cupid, Donner, Blitz.
Yeah, and even Rudolph knows, don't they fly so high from coast to coast?
In any kind of weather, even through the snow, that the reason for the season ain't the glow of his nose.
Yeah, 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 it's something much, much brighter, higher, fire, Jesus Messiah.
He changed my life and I gotta go tell, John 3:16, I'm compelled to yell.
Oh, I made it to the mountain, that is my routine, everybody needs to know about the newborn king, yeah.
Everest, Fiji, Kilimanjaro, conquering them all like it's no tomorrow.
I talk about that action because the love is true.
Make a phone in my hands, turns up with you. Go!
I will go and tell it, I will go and tell it.
Go tell it, go tell it.
Tell it from the mountaintop.
Go,
go! I will go and tell it, I will go and tell it.
Go tell it, go tell it. What?
Tell
come
it
on.
From the mountaintop.
Let's go! Go, 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 go!
Everybody needs to know.
Go, 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 go!
Everybody needs to know.
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born.
3, 2, 1, let's go!
Merry Christmas. Welcome to Northwoods. Are you enjoying the show so far? Yeah. I'll tell you what, I'd be enjoying it even more if they'd let me do my announcements from this trampoline deal right here. That last sounds pretty fun. Well, my name is John. I'm one of the pastors here at Northwoods. And from all of us here at Northwoods, we just want to give a big welcome. Thanks so much for joining us as we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. And for the next few moments, I want to let you know what's coming up here at Northwoods, and I want to touch base on one detail with you, and then we'll get back into the show. So I want to invite you back on Sunday, December 26th, for Church at Home. I shouldn't say back, because we're not going to be here, but I want to invite you to join us for Church at Home. We'll have an online-only streaming service that you can find at northwoods.online. Or you can get the Northwoods app on your phone, Apple TV, Roku, and you can stream the service right in the comfort of your home with your family and friends. And then Sunday, January 2nd, we'll be back in the building here at Northwoods. And if you don't have a church home, we would love to have you join us as we will kick off the new year with a brand new series titled The Blessed Year. And we will also, as a church, as we do every January, be entering into a 21-day season of prayer and fasting. Now, if you think that's crazy, it does sound a little bit crazy to fast for 21 days, but I don't know about you, but by the time Christmas is done, I've had enough Christmas cookies that I'm ready to let go of food for a few days. So I'd love to have you join us on Sunday, January 2nd. And then I want to just real quick touch base with you on giving. You know, when I think about giving, I'm always reminded of the story of a young boy who wanted a bike for Christmas. And so he decided to write a letter to Jesus, and he drafted a couple letters, didn't feel real good about them. So he tore those up, didn't feel like they were persuasive enough. And so one morning he was walking out front in his lawn, and he saw the nativity set there. He saw, you know, Joseph, Mary, Jesus, and he had an epiphany. So he grabbed Mary from the nativity set, brought her back inside, and he began writing his letter. Dear Jesus, if you ever want to see your mother again, give me a bike. All right, that's called coerced giving. But I want to let you know, as you leave tonight, you will see people holding boxes on your way out. And if you would like to give and invest in the ministry of Northwoods, you can give and drop your gift in the boxes, or you can give online, northwoods.church/give. But please know, this is not coerced giving. Please don't feel any pressure. We really want this show, this production, it's our heart, that this is really just our gift to you. So we hope you enjoy it. Now, we're going to hop back into the show in just a moment. As we do, as I think about this next kind of number we're going to do, I'm reminded of one of my favorite movies and a quote from it. So I'm going to give you the quote, and you just kind of shout out the movie if you know it. The quote goes like this: the best way to spread Christmas cheer is sing. You already know. It's singing loudly for all to hear. You got it. You got it. So when I think about singing loudly for all to hear, if there's one genre of music that makes me want to kind of stomp my feet, clap my hands, and sing loudly, it's Southern gospel music. And so sit back and enjoy this next number that was actually written by our very own senior pastor.
He came from heaven to earth so long ago on Christmas night, left his throne up in glory just to come and bring us life. He was born in a manger down in lowly Bethlehem, and I'm happy today because he came.
Since he came,
since he came,
all my sins have been forgiven.
Since he came,
since he came,
I have peace and joy within.
Everything to me, since he came by and saved eternally.
Come on.
Oh, my friend, do you know this one who came to bring your life? Put your faith in the Savior, wash away your sin and strife. If you trust him completely, you will never be the same. You'll be happy today because he came.
Since he came,
all my sins have been forgiven.
Since he came,
I have peace and joy with him.
Since he came,
he means everything to me.
Since he came by and saved eternally.
Come on!
Since he came,
all my
It is quite extraordinary to think that a baby boy, who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, would be born in a stable. Not in privilege or prestige, not social media or social status, not accorded any political campaigns or private airplanes. And yet, he flipped the world on its head. Just think about it. He turned BC into AD. He is the most famous name known around the globe. He inspired the most read book ever written. He brought heaven down to earth and in turn reconnected us back to heaven. And now, right here, right now, he offers us redemption. Freedom, a fresh start for you and me, so that we can hold our heads high and march through this life knowing that we are never alone. That every man and woman, boy and girl, and all of us who feel like we have nothing left and nothing to bring before a king, can now know that God is smiling at us, that he is loving us, that we are enough, that our lives are the gifts that we bring back to him in total surrender. So come on, friend, light up that Christmas tree, stand under the mistletoe, surround yourself with your loved ones, and together, let us celebrate the greatest news this world has ever known.
Me and my drum. promise, Son of God and Son of Man. Heaven's glory in a manger has come to us in Bethlehem. Oh.
When you kiss your little baby, Star Christ is born in Bethlehem. Anybody disappointed they came tonight? Disappointment in life occurs when our expectations clash with the hard reality of our actual experience. And I hope the expectation you brought tonight lived up to the experience. I read a great story about a father who learned this the hard way. He says, as ham sandwiches go, it was perfection. A thick slab of ham, a fresh bun, crisp lettuce, and plenty of expensive light brown gourmet mustard. The corners of my jaw were aching in anticipation. I carried it to the picnic table in our backyard, picked it up with both hands, and was just ready for my first delicious bite when I was stopped by my wife, who appeared suddenly at my side and said, "Hold Johnny while I get my sandwich." Johnny was our 6-week-old son. He says, "I had him balanced between my left elbow and shoulder and was reaching for my sandwich again when I noticed a streak of mustard on my fingers. I love mustard. I had no napkin. I licked it off. It wasn't mustard." He says, "No man ever put a baby down faster. It was the first and only time I have sprinted with my tongue protruding." He said, "With the ends of a washcloth in each hand, I did the sort of routine shoeshine boys do, only I did it on my tongue." Later, after she stopped crying from laughing so hard, my wife said, "Now you know why they call that mustard poop-on." You understand, disappointment in life occurs when our expectations clash with the hard reality of our actual experiences. When you expected mustard, and in actuality, well, you get it. And while we may laugh at a story like that, the truth is it's no laughing matter when that clash between expectations and experience touches our life, our own lives, in some painful way. Just this year alone, I watched that clash play out in many lives. For Josie and Dean, it was losing both their father, my cousin, and their mother, my cousin's wife, within 6 months of each other. I did both those funerals back in Ohio. For Jan, it was returning home from having helped to plan her father's funeral and finding her husband, John, dead of a heart attack. John was a prayer warrior for me and a high school schoolmate. For Dennis, it was grieving the loss of his wife, the picture of health one day, and a few weeks later, gone. And let's be honest, when we face that brutal clash between expectation and experience, it's tough not to question God. Why, God, when we were praying and hoping and trusting you for a good outcome, why did you remain silent? Why didn't you do something? We might wonder, God, are you even there? And do you even care? And if that's you today, let me admit that I've been there at times in my own life. When you hold your newborn son in your arms, and in spite of all your prayers for a miracle, you watch the monitors flatline. When you watch a brain tumor slowly snuff out your brother-in-law's life, in spite of all your prayers. When you watch breast cancer slowly rob your sister of life, it's tough not to ask the why question. Why, God? When we were needing you and expecting you to come through, why did you remain silent? Now, if you can identify with that disappointment or frustration, it's not unlike the world into which Jesus was born on that first Christmas night. The 400 years between the Old Testament and the New Testament, kind of this is what we do in our Bible. Here's Malachi, the end of the Old Testament, a prophet who wrote in about 420 BC. And there's just one little page in your Bible that lets you know you've come to the New Testament. We flip it, and now we can read about Jesus being born. And what we don't realize is that between Malachi in the Old Testament and the birth of Jesus in the New Testament, there were 400 years. And historians have come to call that space in your Bible the 400 silent years, a long period of time where no new prophets were speaking the word of God, 400 years when it seemed that God had lost his voice, 400 years where it seemed he didn't care, or maybe had gone missing. He's nowhere to be seen, nowhere to be heard, nowhere to be found. 400 years where it would have been easy to conclude God is nowhere. That's exactly what an atheist had himself concluded through all of his own sufferings and setbacks in life. So adamant was he in trying to convince everyone else around him about the absurdity of God's existence that he actually scrawled in big letters into the wall of his living room, God is nowhere. Sometime later, his brother and his five-year-old nephew came to visit for a couple days, and his young nephew was just beginning to read. While the two brothers were conversing in the living room one day, the little guy saw the words on the wall and in a brief moment of silence said, "Watch, I know what that says." And then he kind of sounded it out. God is now here. Boom. Same arrangement of letters, but just a different break that totally transformed the message of that statement. And the power of that moment changed that atheist's life too, as he saw with fresh perspective through the eyes of the child. Guys, listen now. That's literally what happened on that first Christmas night in Bethlehem. 400 years of silence and seeming indifference were broken by the announcement of angels that unto us is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And though his proper name was Jesus, his prophetic name, according to Isaiah the prophet, would be Emmanuel, which means God is with us. God is now here. That first Christmas changed everything for all time. In that moment, the message of silence, God is nowhere, became the joyous announcement that God is now here and has forever separated those letters in a new way through the coming of Jesus Christ into the world. Christmas, in all of its simplicity, is heaven's announcement that God is now here. It's also a personal announcement. God sent his son Jesus into the world at Christmas to say, God is now here for you. For you. In fact, just say it silently to yourself in your heart right now. And let it resonate. God is now here for you, Jan. God is now here for you, Josie. For you, Dennis. When you lay your head on your pillow tonight, let your last thought be, God is now here for me. When you wake up tomorrow morning, let your first thought be, God is now here for me this day. He's now here to forgive you. Bible says if you will confess your sins to him, he will be faithful to forgive you and wipe the slate clean and give you a new start. That's why he sent Jesus in the world in the first place. To save sinners, the Bible says. To wipe our sin away. So he will cleanse you from all your sins and never hold your past against you. He's now here to forgive you. He's now here to restore you. He doesn't want to forgive you so that you can go on living in the same bondage and destruction of your sin. He wants to change your life. And yes, it is a process, but as you daily say yes to his work in your life, he'll change you. Guys, I have seen the hardest hearts softened and changed by his dynamic supernatural work. God is now here to restore you. He's now here to heal you. Yes, sometimes he does that physically, but he also wants to heal the emotional wounds and the hurts in your life, your soul wounds, and release you into a new day. And as he does, listen, he will turn what you thought was a mess into your life message because you've experienced his healing. He's now here to heal you. He's now here to help you. Where do you need his help tonight? Call out to him. Invite him to have his way in your life for whatever the need. Take your hands off and put it in his hands, and he will make a way where it seems there is no way. God's near here to help you. And then finally, he is now here to save you, which means your sins and failures and regrets don't need to be the last word. The Bible says in John 3:16, a famous verse, "For God so loved the world," and it's not just talking about the cosmos, it's talking about the people of the world. Put your name in there. "He so loved you, Cal. He so loved you, Mary. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son," sent him into the world at Christmas time. Look at this, "that whoever," are you a whoever? "That whoever believes in him," Jesus Christ, "shall not perish, but have eternal life." God is now here to forgive, restore, heal, and help you while you live. But beyond all that is his offer of salvation for all eternity. Guys, we don't tend to think of eternity too much when we're young. But there will come a day when you're up against the finish line. And then it's a different deal. A few weeks ago, I went to visit an old Little League coach of mine who today is battling a life-threatening illness. He would love to know that he has a few more years to live, but today, barring a miracle from God, he's up against the finish line. And he realizes that his most important possession is the hope of eternal life. Because you see, for the one who has put his faith in Jesus, death isn't the end. It's just a change of address. A few weeks ago, I prayed with Alan up in the hospital who was up against the finish line. And as he wept, he said, "Cal, I'm ready to go home. I have no fear, and I have the absolute assurance in my heart that when I die, I'll be home with Jesus." We got word just this last Sunday that Alan had indeed gone home to be with Jesus. And guys, the only way you can live and die with that kind of assurance in your life is to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the one who came into this world for you at Christmas time. Since you know you're going to experience some disappointments in life, you're going to experience that clash between expectation and the harsh reality of experience, why not commit yourself to the one who will walk through them with you and who promises to strengthen and help you and to never leave you or forsake you? He's got you covered in life. And then I always say, since you know that you too are going to be up against the finish line one day, well, I hope life gives every one of you 100 years of health. But regardless, we're going to be up against the finish line one day. And I always say that if you know you're going to spend far more time on that side of the grave than on this side of the grave, why wouldn't you want to know for sure that you have an eternal home and that's reserved in heaven for you, which the Bible says can never perish, spoil, or fade? It's got your name on it. You can know that tonight if you'll by faith surrender your life to Jesus Christ, the one who came into the world at Christmas time to announce God is now here for you. That's really the choice Christmas presents to all of us. Go on living as if God is nowhere, or embrace the message of Christmas by faith that God is now here. You can walk out of here tonight knowing that you have surrendered your life to Jesus Christ and that he is now, by his Spirit, living inside you. And when that's your reality, you can confidently say, God is now here. He's actually living in my life. Will you bow your head and your heart with me right now? And I know you've enjoyed the production. We love doing the dancing and the singing and the jumping and everything else. But guys, we miss it all if we miss the message. And if you want that reality in your life
tonight, you want to know that Jesus Christ, who came at Christmas, has become your personal Savior, is living in your life, you pray with me right now and just release your faith. Say something to him like this: Jesus, I believe you were sent into this world that first Christmas to be my forgiver, my friend, my Savior. I believe you died on a cross to pay the penalty for my sin and that you rose again to give me life in all its fullness. I choose now to surrender my life to you. I invite you to come into my life, to forgive me, to change me, to lead me and guide me from this day forward. And I thank you now for entering my life today and for giving me eternal life. Help me now to follow you faithfully until the day I see you face to face. In Jesus' name, amen. And friend, if you prayed that prayer and you opened your heart to Jesus by faith tonight, you have just started on your faith journey. We want to help you grow. And so we put tables out here. We do that every year so that people who have said yes to Jesus can leave here with this little packet that says, I said yes to Jesus. Don't be embarrassed or afraid to pick one of these up. Nobody's going to detain you, but we want you to register the fact that you said yes. You're not picking this up for somebody else. You're picking it up for you. If you said yes to him, Jesus, I understood that I need you in my life, and I want eternal life, and I want you to walk with me through this life. And so I said yes. And you're going to find in here a little book called Fresh Start with God. It will help you to understand the decision you just made, so you can read that over Christmas break. And then if you don't have a home church, we welcome you to come back here, as we have many opportunities to help you grow in your faith. So if you said yes to Jesus, pick up one of these packets tonight. It's got the little book. It's got a little New Testament in it for you to read. And then for all of you, we were trying to get something of substance like a coffee mug or an ornament. Couldn't get any of those things in. So we're going to settle with a little bookmark for those of you who read, or you can hang it on your tree. It just says, nowhere, now here, for you to remember that God is now here. We put a little candy cane in there. This is our gift to you as well for coming tonight, and we hope that gives you something that you can share with other people as well. Because you know what, friends? When you know the Christ of Christmas, as this last song reminds us, the best thing you can do is go tell someone else that God is now here and let them know what he can do for them.
Baby in a manger was born on Christmas Day.
Come on, will you get on your feet and tell these guys thank you tonight? Huh? Did you enjoy that? I can't hear you. Thank you. Oh, it's so good to have you here. Listen, on your way out, if you said yes to Jesus, pick up your yes packet. All of you, pick up your candy cane and your nowhere now here. And guys, what do you want to tell them all? God bless you all. Have a great Christmas. Thank you so much. Those of you watching online, thank you for joining us today. And listen, if you said yes to Jesus, you can text to that number on your screen. We would love to get you the same information, okay? We pray you all have a great Christmas and a wonderful 2022.